fantastic. We're going to hear from, we're going to see those guys in just a few moments as we baptize them in the pool. Now, my job here is just to put a little bit of context on that. Some of you, you're here and perhaps you're not even sure why you came. Perhaps you came because someone invited you, a friend came along and said you should try it out. Others of you, maybe you come because it's an Easter thing. You feel like this is a kind of a good religious thing to do on Easter Sunday. Pay your respects. Others of you are here because this is your normal church. You're regularly here. Some of you are here to support a friend. Some of you are here because you were invited. Let me tell you why every single person is here tonight, whether you know this or not. You're here for a party. You're here because Easter Sunday is a party. We celebrate Jesus Christ. This is his party. This is his coming out party. This is his rebirth day party. When Jesus rose from the dead, it literally changes the course of human history. And we come here to celebrate Jesus. But with all great parties, when you come and celebrate with someone, you get to enjoy the best of what they have to offer. Just a couple of weeks ago, I had my birthday. It's not a significant one. But we played it down because, you know, usually my birthdays are a great big hoo-ha. But it was just the family. And I said to Isabel, my daughter, I said, would you like to come out for a meal to celebrate my birthday? And she said, yes. Do you know why? Because when you come to a party to celebrate me, you are the one that gets treated. So Isabel tips up. She knows that she's going to get an amazing meal in an amazing restaurant. She's going to be allowed to drink a wonderful, beautiful cocktail. She's only 6 years old. It's probably not the right thing, but it's a joke. No, she's 18. It's okay. Don't arrest me. But she knows that on my birthday, all I want to do is bless her, make her happy, give her gifts, allow her to join in my joy. And when we come together to celebrate Jesus, his party, his resurrection, he says, I want you to receive the gift. I want you to receive the blessing. I want you to benefit from this. Because when we talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we're not just talking about one individual who rose from the dead. No, what we're talking about is a brand new opportunity, a brand new potential for everybody, that everybody now gets to rise again. Everybody now gets to experience resurrection, that this is something which is open to everyone. But what I want to ask you tonight is just one question, and that is this. Do you believe? Do you believe this? Because that's a question that Jesus poses to us. And it's so much more than just believing that something happened or believing in a historical figure. It's actually something way more profound. We've had a number of readings and, you know, we've done it in our dramatic way and, you know, we're just trying our best to be dramatic and creative. And you saw that coming through. But the readings talk about Jesus' resurrection. But the Bible talks a little bit more about what Jesus offers us. That when Jesus is risen from the dead, he says, this is me going first so that you can come afterwards. I'm getting in there so that you can have a way made for you. So we've read from Luke, but I want to just take a quick few verses from the book of John. And this concerns some dear close friends of Jesus. Three siblings, Mary, Martha, Lazarus. And they lived in a town called Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem. And Jesus would stay there. They were close, dear friends. Lazarus gets sick. They send out news because they know that Jesus can heal people. Jesus stays put. He doesn't go. He doesn't heal him. And like so many of the stories, he doesn't heal this time. But he delays and Lazarus can't hold on. He dies. Jesus arrives and finds the girls, the sisters, they are just brokenhearted. In fact, Mary, she's so upset, she doesn't even come out to see Jesus. You know, sometimes you feel like God lets you down. You don't even want to talk to him. You don't want to be near him. You don't want to go to church because you just feel like, you let me down. You weren't there when I needed you. I prayed. I asked. You didn't show up. You didn't carry your end of the bargain. But Martha, bless her, she comes and she meets Jesus. And she has this just heartbreaking thing to say. She says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He's saying, look, you may believe certain things. You may have your own philosophy on life. Maybe you believe in karma. Maybe you believe in some kind of resurrection. Maybe you believe in something after death. All of us have a spiritual hunger, a spiritual need, a spiritual desire. We want to know, is there more to life than iPhones and celebrity Big Brother? We want to know, is there a spiritual aspect, something ethereal, transcendent that goes beyond just this petty daily grind? You can believe a whole bunch of things. And Martha, she has that. She has a belief that maybe you have as well. I believe that there is a resurrection. I believe that there is something that happens to us when we die. I believe that thing. Jesus says, yeah. That thing that you believe is only a shadow because actually you believe in resurrection. What you need to know is I am the resurrection. The people that are going to be baptized tonight, they're being baptized because they don't believe just a concept, an idea, philosophy. They go to be baptized because they believe a person. They believe in Jesus, that he is the resurrection, that he literally is within himself, the one that can bring life eternal to all people. And Jesus goes on to say, he says, the one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And then he poses the question, do you believe? Do you believe? These guys, as they get into the pool in a moment, and if you thought that the evening was weird so far, you're thinking this is not like church that I'm used to. Let me tell you, it's going to get a whole lot weirder in a moment. But these guys that go to get baptized, what essentially they are saying is, we believe. We believe. Answering the question that Jesus asked of us, do you believe? Do you believe in me? Do you believe I'm the resurrection? Do you believe that with me in your life, you can live a life that is so much better and so much more full of meaning and joy and grace and forgiveness and healing? And that when you die, you will not die, but that you'll be raised up and live. And these guys are saying, yes, I believe. For those of us that are here on the outside looking in a little bit on the edges, maybe not used to church, maybe bought by a friend, maybe invited along, maybe you just wandered in because you felt like it was a good thing to do. That thing about belief is a big deal. Let me tell you, first of all, you've got to believe the actual truth about Jesus. And the good news is that's pretty easy to believe. It sounds far-fetched, but when you look at it, the evidence for Jesus Christ is absolutely incredible. So we have the life and death of Jesus. We have incredible amounts of evidence. We've got Tacitus, Pliny, Josephus, non-Christian historians, Suetonius, a whole bunch of historians from the first century, the second century, people that were around, people that didn't believe in Jesus but catalogued what was going on. We have more evidence for Jesus than we have for Julius Caesar. We know beyond any shadow of a doubt that Jesus was a real figure, and we know that he died. It's in Roman records. It's just a matter of historical fact. Believing that is no stretch. It's not a difficult thing. Then we've got the empty tomb. We know that the Jesus, his crucifixion was public. It was well documented. And then on the third day, his followers started to say, he's risen, he's alive, he's appeared to us. They trotted out 500 eyewitnesses who could all speak about him. And the crazy thing was the authorities weren't able to produce a body. They came up with another theory. They said, well, the disciples, they stole the body. It's a conspiracy. They're all conspiracies. But that's fact. Empty tomb. And then we've got the birth of the early church. Sometimes, I never get this, but sometimes people will say, oh, yeah, well, Jesus, resurrection, he was just a good moral teacher. And then it got kind of taken out of context. It was just embellished, and then fact was forgotten. It became legend and myth, and then before you know it, maybe a couple hundred years later, a myth, a legend arose, and it was politically expedient, and so people got a hold of it because they wanted to have power, and people believed that, you know, and he never meant for that, but he was just a regular person, maybe had some good ideas, turn the other cheek, we all like that, but he never rose from the dead. There was no belief in that for hundreds of years. Actually, that's just nonsense. It's nonsense, it's naive, and it's ill-informed. We know, as a matter of historical record, that the early church exploded into being within a few short years after Jesus' death. Normally, if you want something to be a legend, you've got to give it at least 70 years. Why? Because that's the time it takes for the generation of people who knew the truth, knew the fact, to die off. And then you can say whatever you like. It doesn't work after a few short years. And yet we have stories and letters and historical documents from the early church dating from 20 years after Jesus was crucified. Guys like Paul, who was a Pharisee. And if you went to Sunday school, you'd have heard about Pharisees. They didn't like Jesus. Jesus didn't like them. And yet one of the most famous Pharisees became a follower of Jesus, started off persecuting them, and then flipped right around, said, "I have become convinced that he has risen from the dead." Jesus's brother, James, flipped, went from, "My brother, you're a great guy, but you're crazy if you think that you're the Son of God." He flipped, and history tells us that he became the leader of the early church. One of the biggest things, and I've talked about this before, was the Great Fire of Rome. Now, you've heard of the Great Fire of Rome. It happened in AD 64. And at the time, the Roman citizens, they had this theory that Nero, who was the emperor at the time, Nero started the fire because Nero didn't like the buildings in Rome. He wanted to rebuild. He had this whole Jones for architecture. And they said, "Nero set fire to Rome. It's his fault." But instead, Nero said, no, it's not my fault. It was the Christians. It was the Christians that burnt Rome down. And then he rounded them up in their hundreds, had them thrown into the Colosseum, fed to wild animals, tied them to stakes in his garden for his parties, tarred them and set fire to them, which is where we get the term Roman candles. Literally used them as human torches in his garden parties. And the reason that Nero was able to pin the Great Fire of Rome on the Christians was that the Roman capital city was full of Christians. Everybody knew a Christian. They weren't particularly popular. They were the underclass, the underbelly, the people that were radical, different. There was something about them that wound people up. But they were there in their hundreds. They were there in their thousands within 30 years of the crucifixion. And so the facts, the evidence for Jesus, for him living, dying, rising from the dead, if you look at them, and I've just given a little glimpse, they are compelling. But it's more than just believing facts about someone. Jesus says, "Do you believe? Do you believe in me?" And actually, while we're on archaeology, there was an amazing thing. It happened in Israel in 1945. A professor of archaeology, Professor Eliezer, he came and found a new site just in the suburbs of Jerusalem. They uncovered a tomb that had been sealed and completely preserved since AD 50. So within 20 years of Jesus dying, they were able to find a coin in that tomb that dated the tomb AD 50. And so this tomb had not been entered by any human being in 1900 years, almost to the day. And in it, they found some ossuaries. Now, an ossuary is a bone box. It looks a little bit like this. You see these boxes, and people would put the desiccated bones of their loved ones into these boxes. It was their way of preserving them. And it had inscriptions on the various boxes. One of the inscriptions, it said this. It said in Greek, "Yeshu Iu," which means, "Jesus, help." When this person had died, they wanted on their, basically the inscription, their epitaph, "Jesus, help me. I'm trusting in Jesus. I believe that you can help me even in death." And then the other one was in Aramaic. It said, "Yeshua Aloth," which means, "Jesus, let him arise." Within 20 years of Jesus' death, people were saying, "I trust you. I believe in you. I don't just believe that you're real. I don't just believe that you've done things. I believe that you can bring me life. I believe that you can raise me up from the dead. I'm trusting my whole life to you." Now, we live in Redland, and we have some fairly cool neighbors. In fact, they're very cool. I don't want to say how cool they are because they're here and it will go to their heads. But they just moved in. They're very cool. They've got just a really beautiful sports car, which I'm completely envious of. And they are both doctors. And we were getting to know them just when they moved in, and found out that actually she does this amazing job. And she told me things that I'd never heard before. She says, "Philip, I'm an anaesthetist." I said, "Cool, that sounds great. What's the deal?" She says, "The deal is this. Before someone goes under for an operation, I am the last person that they see. I'm the one that has to reassure them. I'm the one that has to put their minds at rest." She said, "When people come in, you can have rich people, you can have Larry people, you can have all kinds of people. They present, they put up all their fronts. But when they lie on that bed, when they're about to be wheeled into surgery, all that stuff just falls away. And now it comes the vulnerability of a human being who does not know what the future is going to hold. They don't even know whether they will wake up, whether they will make it through this operation. And they have to put their hands, their life, into my hands. And my job is just to be trustworthy, someone that you can feel confident in. And when they believe in me, they don't just believe that I exist. They don't just believe that I'm a doctor. They believe that I can bring them into unconsciousness and then bring them back up again on the other side. And I see them. And I go over to the bed and I put a hand on one and I say a word to another. And all the time, basically, she's asking that question. Do you believe? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you commit your life to me? You're letting another individual make you unconscious, literally put drugs into your system, and then hoping that they can bring you back somehow. Do you believe? And she sees these things. And Jesus says to us, do you believe? At your last moment, are you willing to commit yourself to me? Trust that I can bring you through death itself. And when Christians give their lives to Jesus, they're saying, I trust you with all of my life, and I trust you even with my death that I'd be raised again. When these guys go down, it is a symbol of being dead and buried. They die to their old self. They die to their old way of doing things. They die to their old set of values. And now they say, I am going to be risen back up. So when we pull them up, hopefully we pull them up. It's a new pool, and we haven't tested it out before, and it's a bit bigger than our normal one, so it'll be fine. But when we pull them up, it's a symbolic thing saying, I'm arisen, I've risen up with Jesus Christ, and I have a brand new life, and this life will never end. You can trust Jesus with all of your life. You can trust him. Some of you know that we've been praying for Jamie. Jamie's part of this church family. Jamie has cerebral palsy. He goes around in a wheelchair. At the end of last year, he had his hand amputated. The whole of his left side has been basically, it's been disabled and deformed. Something in his brain has not functioned correctly, and part of his brain has actually ceased to be. He went in for an operation just about 3 weeks ago. It was an operation just to help him with his left foot, which again was causing him lots of grief and pain. And as you know, those of you that were here, he went into a coma. He wasn't given general anesthetic because his body couldn't take it. And so he was given a kind of a local anesthetic. So he was awake while they took care of his foot, and they dissolved bones in the foot and all kinds of things. And during the operation, the trauma got so much that he had a stroke. His brain overloaded, had a massive bleed. The doctors told him afterwards that if the brain that had been, if he had a normal human brain like the rest of us, he'd have died. But because his brain had already suffered significant damage at birth, actually the bleed came into that area of the brain. So ironically, the thing that made him disabled is the thing that saved his life. But he was in a coma for 10 days. And you remember, Kate was up here and we were praying, Jamie, wake up, Jamie, wake up. And he did wake up 10 days. He rose again. And the first thing that he said was, where's my hand? And they said, Jamie, you lost your hand 6 months ago. Where's my brother? Jamie, your brother was killed years ago. Who's that? Jamie, that's grandma and granddad. Jamie woke up with profound memory loss. We got a text from him. He said, apparently you're important to me. Apparently church is important to me. Would you like to come round and introduce yourselves and tell me why you're so special to me? We came round, we went round on Wednesday, and it was just the most profoundly humbling thing. We didn't know what to expect. We said, Jamie, do you know us? No, I don't know you. I'm not even sure I'll remember you this afternoon after you've gone. But he began to talk, and he said, it's clear that this is something very, very special to me. He says, I only remember two things. I have no idea who I am. I don't know who my friends are. I don't know what I've done. I don't know this house that I am now being brought back home into. He says, I don't know anything about who I am. I've lost everything. But I know two things. I remember two things. We said, what's that? First of all, I remember the trauma. I remember going into the stroke, and I remember being in the operating table, and it was awful, awful, awful. I said, what's the second thing you remember? He said, I remember that I love Jesus. I remember that Jesus is with me. I remember that I love God. I remember that he is with me. The only thing I know about me, I'm loved by God. I know that I believe in him. I know that I trust him. And he's able to take me to himself. Of all the things that were lost, the only thing that he remembers is that Jesus is with him and Jesus loves him and Jesus will never let him go. That's what faith is down to its most primal core. I know. I don't know loads of things. I don't have all the answers. I don't get everything, but I do know that Jesus loves me. And Jamie, I know, is watching this at home, and we want you to know, Jamie, we love you. We're looking forward to you coming home. We played him a video that we made of him when he had his operation a few months ago. And it was the most profound thing, because old Jamie was talking to new Jamie. And new Jamie was watching himself on a screen. He didn't know that he'd made this video. But on the video, he was saying, God is with me. God loves me. I'm confident in him. He has been with me all of my life, through my difficulties, through my challenges. And as he watched the video, he began to cry. He began to cry, and he just wept, and he sobbed. And he says, wow, it's like I've been speaking and preaching to myself and it's all real. I don't know anything else, but I do know God. So we're going to pray right now, but that is the challenge. Do you believe? Would you like a faith like that? Now, some of you, you're going to say, well, how can we believe? We've just been in a funny meeting with lights. How are we supposed to believe? We've got a couple things happening. First of all, on that table by the back and by the coffee, we've got these discovery packs, which we'd love you to take. If you're interested in knowing a little bit more about faith, then we've got a pack with you. You can take it. It's got part of Luke's gospel, which is the one that we've been reading from, and a little booklet that explains kind of the basics of the Christian faith. But we've also got an alpha course that's starting next month, May the 16th. And if you like, you can fill in the welcome card on your chair and just tick interested in finding out more about faith. I'll email you. I'll let you know. For those of you that want to get baptized, you can take a booklet as well. But I want us to pray, and I'm going to ask you and invite you just to pray a prayer with me. And it's an Easter prayer. It's a prayer that says, God, if you're real, help me to believe in you. Help me to move forward. We're not expecting you to jump and dive into the pool straight off. You need to take your time and go on a journey. But I'm just going to invite you to pray. This is kind of an atheist prayer. If you're there, God, go for it. But let's just close our eyes and let's pray. I'm going to pray the prayer, but I want you to make this your own if you're up for it. Dear Jesus, God of Easter, God of resurrection, I'm not sure if you're real. I'm not sure if you can see me. But if it's true, if you lived and died and rose again for me, then I'm interested. Help me to make steps towards you. Help me to find you, just as these guys have found you. Help me with my questions Help me with my disappointment. Help me with my struggles. If you are real and if you love me, I'm open. I'm willing to believe. I offer this simple prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.